for you to give your all, your best, for I have enabled you to pass every test. Take my hand, I will lead and guide you through the darkness to the light. I will help you overcome and win and live right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He also told us, this is in Matthew 22, that we should love our neighbor how? As we love ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't love themselves because they were told by demons and evil spirits that they were not lovable, that they're miserable, that they're not going to amount to anything. Those words were designed to destroy you, but I've got a different story for you today. I'm here to tell you that you are loved. God does love you. He loves you. Yes, He does. He loves you. And He is prepared to come all in your life if you let Him. But you got to let Him. You can't just keep God at bay. Say, okay, God, you can come this far, but don't come any closer. No, you got to let love come in. All right? So when we love God with all of our heart, what does that mean? It means you love Him with all your faculties and powers. This is from Barnes. I thought this was really well spoken. You love Him supremely. You love Him more than other beings. You love Him more than things. You love Him with all the passion and enthusiasm that's possible. Talking about loving God with all your heart, this is what it means. You set your affections supremely on Him, more strongly than anything else. See, when love comes into your life, now love becomes your number one priority. And God will transform a hater into a lover. Oh, you don't believe me? The Apostle Paul was a hater of Christians. He hated Christians. He would go into their house. If he found out that Nelson was a believer, he would go into Nelson's house. He would mistreat Nelson. He would arrest Nelson, and he would put Nelson in prison simply because Nelson is a believer. He watched Christians die who did not deserve to die. Paul did. But then something happened to him. He was going to persecute Christians on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden, love met him. And love opened his eyes, and love came into his life, and his love changed. He now started to love Christians. He started to help Christians. He became a Christian. He became the very thing he was persecuting and punishing and tormenting. And he became it so strong that nothing could stop him from sharing the love that was in his heart with the world. That's powerful. That's the power of love. We fall short in the power of love. We don't think love can handle big problems or little problems. Therefore, we don't put our trust in love, and we try to do it some other way. Hallelujah. With all your soul. What does it mean to love God with all your life? Be willing to give up life to Him. When you love God with all your soul, you are willing to give up your life for Him. You are willing to surrender your way to His way. You are willing to accept His purpose for your life above anything else. See, we can't have love increase and abound if we don't really understand what's taking place with love. with all your soul, you're willing to die for His commands. You're willing to give your everything to Him. With all your mind. We have minds, don't we? God wants us to use our minds. When we love God with all of our mind, we submit to His will. All right? We love His word and His gospel more than the decisions of our own mind. Oh. Shoo. We submit to His teaching and guidance. We devote all intellectual attainments and results of our intellectual efforts to Him. That's according to Barnes, who is a commentator. You know what a commentator is? It's just a plain potato. It's a commentator. Y'all needed to smile a little bit. When you love God with your mind, you apply yourself only to know God and His will. You make knowing God and knowing His will your number one pursuit in life. It means that you submit with gratitude and pleasure, and you learn the sacred truths of God's kingdom. It means you study other things solely to promote His glory. If God wants you to be a doctor, then you study to be a doctor. Because why? You want to glorify God as a doctor. You don't want to just study a doctor so that you can doctor. No, that's vain. You want to study to be the best doctor that you can so that you can glorify God through doctoring. Listen, if what you do is not glorifying God, then who's it glorifying? And if it's not glorifying God, then that means it's vain because it's going to end. It's temporary. When we cut the grass, we ought to do it as unto the Lord. And the Lord is telling me, Doug, you better cut your grass. I'm convicted by my own words. I just had to throw that in there too, but it's true. You see God in all things. You think of God at all times. Your mind is continually fixed upon God, acknowledging Him in all of His ways. Your thoughts begin, continue, and end with the glory of His name. When you love God with your mind, that's what it means. It means that God now is in your thoughts. Listen, let God in your head, and you don't want to get God out of your head. You know how sometimes you get a song that annoys you, and it says, oh, that song is stuck in my head. I can't get it out. Listen, God wants to be stuck in your head, but don't get Him out. When you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, you're crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to you. You begin to live differently. And there, in essence, are the patterns that then become broken in your life that were bad. The habits that were bad become changed. Listen, you can turn a bad pattern into a good pattern. You can turn a bad habit into a good habit. We're not stuck having bad habits. Well, it's just my habit. I get angry. That's just my nature. That is not your nature if you're a Christian. Where did Jesus say, I have a nature of anger? Yeah, God does get angry, but that's not His nature. He gets angry at the devil. He gets angry at sin. He gets angry when people don't believe Him. When you love God with all your strength, you exert all the powers of your body and soul to serve Him. You are willing to lay your life down for Him. And you're willing to do whatever He tells you to do, go wherever He tells you to go, be whatever He tells you to be. Even if it means departing your familiarity. Yeah, listen, there will be times when God will tell a person to leave what they know, only to receive something better. Amen? Go with me to John chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. I kind of knew I was going to get stuck on love today. That's not a bad thing to be stuck on. Listen, I want the Holy Spirit to tweak your love walk today. There's some things that need to change in how you love God and how you love people. And it can change today. Because we're going to let love come in today. We're going to unlock the door and we're going to let love have... Love can come in and do what it wants to do whenever, however, to whomever. John 15. Let's begin with verse 10. Well, we've got to go to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Why would Jesus have to tell his disciples to continue in his love if the opportunity to not continue is there? What kind of love does Jesus love you with? The same love that the Father loves him. God loves you with, Jesus loves you with God's love. With a love that superabounds, with a love that increases, with a love that has never diminished. From the time you were a thought to the time you were born till now, God has not stopped loving you. He has not decreased in loving you. He loves you just the same and will always love you just the same. Why? He's love. That doesn't necessarily mean he loves what we do. Because sometimes we do the wrong thing. Sometimes we make the wrong choice. Sometimes we take the wrong action. So Jesus loves us with the Father's love. Powerful. See, if you want to grow, how you increase in love is an indication of whether or not you're on the right track. All right, let's read on. Verse 10. If, what if? This must not be automatic. You've got to make a decisive choice to do this, to live this way. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide where? In my love. So our abiding in his love is in direct correlation to us keeping his commandments. Well, if you don't know what he commanded, how can you keep them? Uh-oh. Part of you keeping his commandments is knowing them. Then he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abiding in love is simply doing what God said. At any given moment, we do what he said generally and we do what he said specifically. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide. That's a powerful statement. You shall abide in my love. The love that heals, the love that saves, the love that picks up, the love that changes, the love that restores, the love that heals. That's the kind of love that we can abide in. That love is a good place to hang out. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Listen, if you want your joy to be full, it's got to come from him. His joy remaining in you comes from you abiding in his love. When you abide in his love, you also get his joy. And your joy will be, how will your joy be when his joy is in you? Will it be empty? Will it be half full? It'll be full. Did you come in today with a tank of joy that's on empty, or a tank of joy that's full? Listen, when you abide in his love, when you get tomorrow, his love is there. When you have lunch tomorrow, his love is there. When you go to bed, his love is there. When you travel, his love is there. See, to abide in his love means you let his love affect every area of your life. And that's a choice. Verse 13. Well, verse 12. This is my commandment. Notice he said, this is not my suggestion. God really wants us to do this. And because he said it, we can. He said, this is my commandment that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. One thing I noticed about Jesus, he went through the cross, which was terrible, but when he was resurrected, he did not talk about the cross. He talked about the resurrection. When he was resurrected, they didn't preach about him dying on the cross. They preached about him raising from the dead. Why? He covered the people who crucified him with his love and under the blood. Therefore, it was no longer an issue because he was increasing in love. He did not bring up the nails. The only time he did was when Philip asked to see him. Thomas, yes, thank you. When Thomas, the twin, asked to see them. Otherwise, the crucifixion wasn't the issue. Now, how many of us are continuing to talk about pains that we've experienced 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago? You know, when you talk about your pain, you decrease your love. But a lack of love means we focus on the pain that we suffered. And that means you can never get away from it because it's got a grip on your heart. That means you're failing to love. Because we're supposed to love one another how? Like Jesus loves us. Does Jesus come to you and say, do you remember what you did 10 years ago? I said, I have no clue what I did 10 years ago. Only you would know. I mean, come on, I don't know. I don't remember everything bad that I did 10 years ago. Guess what? Jesus doesn't either. What you did 10 years ago, as far as he's concerned, it's under the blood. It's forgiven. He'd be like, what? I don't know what happened. What are you talking about? That's how we love. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You want your love to abound and increase until it becomes great? Then sacrifice your life for your friends. You know what? Philippians gives us a better way to do that. Prefer your brother before yourself. Prefer your sister above yourself. When you're sitting at dinner with a bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ, and you go for the biggest piece of pie for dessert and say, no, I want you to take. You put them above yourself. See, sacrificing like that is showing love. You give them first choice. You give them. How many know the story of Abraham and Lot? They were so blessed that the land could not take care of both of them. And all of a sudden now, Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen were arguing because Lot had too many sheep, Abraham had too many sheep, and the land where they were, it couldn't sustain them both. Now, Abraham didn't know this, but this was a strife test. And if you want to increase in God, you got to pass the strife test. What's the strife test? Do not allow strife, do not give place to strife in your life. Stop it quickly and immediately. So the herdsmen of Lot, the herdsmen of Abraham, they're arguing. This is my well. No, this is my well. No, this is my grass. No, this is my grass. Blah, blah, blah. They're going back and forth. So Abraham, he comes in and says, what are you boys arguing about? That's my paraphrase. He says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Now, Abraham was Lot's uncle. Abraham had authority over Lot. He could have told Lot. After all, it was Abraham. Lot was on Abraham's shirt tails because Abraham had the blessing on him. The reason Lot was blessed because it was association of Abraham. But what does Abraham do? Abraham tells Lot, you choose which way you want to go. And I will go the other way. But wait a minute, Abraham. Why don't you just tell Lot what to do? No. Because I love Lot. And love lets people choose. Well, does God force you to get saved? He let us choose. If someone wants to go to hell, he'll let them choose. When Adam sinned, God didn't come out flying out of the sky and knock the fruit out of his hand. He let him choose. God gave him his word. He said, this is my word. You follow it, you live. If you don't, you die. So Abraham operated in love. He let Lot choose. And Lot chose what he thought was the best, most luscious piece of property that was to the eyes. But you know what? See, what happens is when you walk in love, Abraham walked away. And then God spoke to him and said, you know what, Abraham? I'm going to give you everything that you can see in any direction. Because he walked in love. And as Abraham was walking away, he looked to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. And I don't know if those directions are correct here. It doesn't matter. But Lot got what he saw in one direction. But Abraham got everything he saw in every direction because of love. Because love puts others first. Now, that may not always be that a situation like that, but that's what love would do. So, is your love increasing? Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. I've got other points, but I'm not going to get to them today, I don't think. God wants us to work on our love. Romans 13. Verse 10. What does love do? Love works no ill to his neighbor. Who's your neighbor? It's not just the person living next to you. It's anybody you come in contact with. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Someone who encounters someone and says, I wish they would die, they are not in love. Because wishing someone die is working ill to them. It means your love nut is a little loose and it needs to be tightened. And God's got to put a torque wrench on you and tighten your love nut. Not your lug nut, your love nut. Did you know we all got love nuts? And when our love nuts are loose, our love is not working like it should be. You know, you don't want to be living the Christian life and have your love nuts fall off. Because then you can sing, you pick the fine time to leave me loose wheel. When you loose your wheel, you can't get to where you need to go. Just like when you lose your love, you can't get to where you need to go. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. How did Jesus fulfill the law? He loved. He loved from the beginning to the end. He never stopped loving. He loved God. He loved people. And therefore, he fulfilled the law. Through love. Can we fulfill the law through love? Yes, we can. All right, let's look at another one. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You can call him Little John. He gives us great information about love. Verse 7. Beloved, he's talking. Did you know that when God speaks to you, he calls you his beloved? So that ought to put a smile on some of your faces. Listen, when you're reading the Bible and it says, my beloved, you just smile and say, that's me. We need to practice that. I can see that you don't, a lot of people don't see that you're God's beloved. All right? Okay, let's do this. On 1, 2, 3, when God says, my beloved, he's speaking to me, we're going to say, that's speaking to me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. That's speaking to me. Okay, say this. I'm God's beloved. You are. And that's never going to change. Even if you walk away from God, you'll still be God's beloved. Beloved, that's talking to me. Let us love one another, for love is of God. See, when you treat people in love, you're treating them with God. You're treating them with the strength of God, the power of God, the gentleness of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God. Notice he said, let us. Once again, it's not automatic. You've got to choose to love people. You've got to choose people who are unlovable. You've got to choose to love people who are unlovable. Anybody got some unlovable people that might be near you, or maybe even a family member? And sometimes choosing to love them is like climbing a jagged mountain. And the devil likes to use them to push your buttons. How many know they tried to push Jesus' buttons, didn't they? They called him names, they criticized him, but that didn't make him stop loving them. Why? Love doesn't come from criticism. Love doesn't come from this earth. Love comes from God. Therefore, if it comes from God, I can't lose my love in this world. Because it comes from God. You can only lose something from the source. Okay. How many of you have a mortgage on your house or your property? All right. Okay. A bank owns that mortgage until you pay it in full, right? Now, another bank that you did not enter into an agreement with, who did not purchase that mortgage, cannot dictate to you how that mortgage is run because they do not own it. Only the bank with whom you have a mortgage with can dictate the terms of that mortgage. No other bank can dictate the terms because it's not theirs. See, if love comes from God, then you can't blame the world for taking your love away because the world didn't give it to you. If you lose your love, you can always get more from God. You can't lose your love because someone mistreated you. Jesus was, listen, no one was more mistreated than Jesus. I mean, it was so intense at one time, his sweat became drops of blood. How did his sweat ever turn to blood? That's intense. Jesus, I don't care what you went through, it can never be compared to what Jesus went through. And yet, at the end of it, he was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He showed love with nails in his hands, with a cross on his back, with his back open, with his beard torn out, with a stab in his side. He showed love. In his worst moment, he showed love. In his most painful moment, he showed love. And he wants our love to increase and abound. That's a sign of growth. You gotta love God more today than you did a year ago. You gotta, and that means you gotta walk closer to God than you did a year ago. You can't love God from a distance. Hey God, how are you doing? Nice to see you. No. Let's just pretend this pulpit is God. You gotta walk with God right here. Don't let any distance get between you and God. Because if distance comes in between you and God, you know who's going to get in the middle. Satan tries to separate you from God. That's what sin does. Sin separates you from the life of God, the power of God. It separates you, puts a barrier there. And repentance removes the barrier and brings you close to God. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is of love. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Well, when love comes into your heart, you're going to be transformed into a lover. I'll never forget one time in my sinful days. I was at a party when I was in high school, drinking. And this person came up to me for no reason. And he said he wanted to fight me. And I looked at him and smiled, because I don't know if I was from a different school, and most of the people there were from another school. And that tends to, if you got more people from this school and you're a rival against this other, it's not good to not be there, to be there by yourself. Okay? And I looked at this person and I said, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. I said that. And that person hauled off and punched me in the face. And I stood there and I looked at him like, he did it with his best, but it didn't faze me. How many know that when you love will protect you, even when you're foolish? I mean, and I stood there and there were some other guys that wanted to come, and I said, I'm gonna leave now. But it didn't deter me. I mean, I was able to leave peacefully, but I certainly wasn't going to get into it, because there's more of them than with me, right? But I believe that God was working on my behalf, because I chose to love versus something else. And I believe that God protected me. And I was able to take his punch, and if he was going to give a second one, now that might be something else, but he that loves is born of God. A sign that you are walking with God is how you love. You know, love is like your growth thermometer. How much you love will increase or decrease. It'll tell you how mature you are in Christ. I'll never forget, Brother Hagin told a story, and someone wrote a book about him and was criticizing him, as a lot of people did. And his staff was mad. They said, you need to call the reporters and we need to do an interview and you need to straighten this out. He said, nope, not going to do it. He smiled and said, I've been criticized by the best and I'm not going to worry about that little peon. He did not respond to criticism about him. That's a sign of love. Mike Murdoch said, don't spend more time with a critic than you would a friend. Listen, they criticized Jesus too, but he didn't hold a press conference to say that you criticized me. Love's a lot stronger than that. Listen, the devil can say anything he wants, but I know he's a liar. So why should I let his words affect me? Because they're lies. I have more confidence in the love of God than I do in the lies of the enemy. So he can say whatever he wants to say, it's not going to move me. But you got to grow in love to be able to handle that. When you're a baby Christian, they come in, did you hear what he said to me? Pastor, she said this to me. He said this to me, Pastor, what am I going to do? Here's a tissue, blow your nose, and let's see what the love of God says. Verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Uh-oh. When you don't operate in love, you're showing your lack of knowledge. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. See, here's the thing about love. Love will demonstrate itself. Love always, not in a prideful way, but in a strong way. When you put love on display, it's not going to move in an earthquake. The earth can be shaking all around love. Everything can be happening, but love is going to be secure, because God is love and God is secure. God's not moved. When things were happening in the early church, God didn't call he wasn't on a conference call with Gabriel and Michael saying, "What's going on, boys?" Why? Love is more secure. See, when you're walking in love, you walk in the strength of love. You're walking secure. No, nothing can move you from the love of God. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice. Listen, God loved you. He sought you out. We were incapable of coming to Him. He had to come to us. He left heaven and came to earth. He put on an earth suit. And He showed us how to love by loving people. When Peter cut off the guy's ear in the garden, you know, they came to get Jesus. And Peter, just out of his reaction, took his sword and, you know, he missed the guy's head, but he cut off the guy's ear. Did Jesus scold Peter? He simply said, "Those who live by the sword die by the sword." What did He do? He picked up the ear that was on the ground. He dusted it off and He put it back in its place. And the guy left with his whole ear healed. There, he was coming to take Jesus captive. They were coming because Jesus was betrayed by a disciple of his. And yet, He shows love by healing the guy's ear. He put the ear back on. But he didn't get on Peter's case about it. He corrected him with His word, and that was it. He didn't say, "Oh, Peter, you bad sinner. You know, now you've been disqualified." No, He didn't do that. He demonstrated love. And see, this is what we need to do. This is what will determine whether or not we're a babe in Christ or we're an adult in Christ. How we show love reveals how you've grown. If you have trouble showing love, then you need to grow more. And how do we do that? How do we grow more? Huh? Are there ways to increase our growth? Let me just take a little side journey here. And let me just give you some points on how to grow real quick. In order to grow, we need to breathe. That's prayer. In order to grow, we need good spiritual hygiene. We need to confess some sin. Confess your sins one to another, and the God of grace will save you, right? In order to grow, we need a caring family. We need fellowship. Listen, one of the good cases of someone who's not going to grow is they don't have fellowship. That's talking about coming to church and fellowshipping outside of this meeting. And fellowship, that means there's more than one fellow in your ship. What are you doing? "I'm fellowshipping with myself." No, you cannot fellowship with yourself. You need someone else to fellowship with. Because why? Fellowship, it builds your love. It helps you love people. The more you're around people, the more you love them, even if they annoy you. In order to grow, we need regular exercise. We need to serve. This is good. In order to grow, we need protection, because we will face temptation. But the Bible said with every temptation, there's always a way out. There's always a trap door from temptation. And then finally, in order to grow, we need to give. That's stewardship. Why? Love gives. For God so loved the world that he what? Oh, he gave. He showed his love by giving. Giving of his time, giving of his energy, giving of his talent, giving all kinds of things. All right, back to 1 John 4. God loved, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There is no excuse. You cannot come and tell me that you cannot love a person. Sorry. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The Holy Spirit is saying here, you ought to love one another. You ought to. But it's hard. Yeah, but I can help you. That's the Lord talking. He can help you. He's not asking you to do it on your own. He'll do it through you. All right? Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. That word perfected means mature. How many want mature love in them? Amen? Verse 13, hereby we know that we dwell in him, he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. The way to know that God dwells in you is to confess Jesus as Lord. You don't have to do anything else but confess Jesus as Lord. And he'll pick up his suitcase and he'll move right in. Did you know that your heart, he's already got a room prepared for himself? It's called your heart. You know, one time we were on a youth outing in Tennessee, when I lived in Tennessee. Wasn't married yet. And we had a Rhema youth function. And we were riding up one of those, you know, those cable cars that go up the side of a mountain? We were in Gatlinburg. And so we were riding on one of these carts. And they always taught us that an evangelist could preach at the drop of a hat. So I played a little game with everybody that was in the car with me. I said, give me a word and I'll make a sermon out of it. And the person said, okay, donut. And I said, great. I said, our hearts are like a donut. And God took out the middle. There's only a space that reserved for God. Only God can fill the gap that's in our hearts like a donut and make our lives sweet. Amen. Maybe we'll have to do that at the Christmas dinner. Throw out a word and I'll make a little sermon about it. We'll play a little game. But see, that was when I was an evangelist, but now I'm a pastor. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm having fun up here. So, are you ready to walk in love? Love is a sign of growth. If you've missed the mark and spoken words that weren't pleasant or did things that weren't pleasant, there's forgiveness. Jesus did not come to condemn us, but he came to give us life. He came to set us free. And I would encourage you to let God help you love others. There's no one better. Did you realize that you have a love coach on the inside of you called the Holy Spirit? Okay, here's what we're going to do. X is going to go here. O is going to go here. And you're going to go, and you're going to love them. Right? All right, one to play. On two. Ready? Hut, hut, love. Well, you thought I was going to say hike. No. You've got your own personal love coach on the inside of you. And he will help you love people. When you can look into eternity beyond what's temporal, it becomes very easy to love people. When you look beyond the natural, it becomes very easy to love people. There are some here today that you need to be reminded that God loves you. God wants to know, he wants you to know that he loves you. You've got to be aware of His love. You've got to be, persuaded. Some of you think because of what you've done that God can't love you. That's not true. If God says, I love you, He loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. Say, God loves me. Say, I love God. I love people. I'm increasing and abounding in love because I'm growing up. I'm growing spiritually. I'm getting more like Jesus. This is exciting. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the goal. Now, some of you need to be reminded that God loves you. Others need to be stirred up to love others better. And God's got big arms, and they're open wide right now. And I'm inviting you to come up and to receive of the love of the Father. Whatever it is you need, love can handle, love can do, love can accomplish. Love wants to touch you today. Love wants to lift you today. Love wants to fill you today. Love wants to permeate. You know, when love comes in, it's like a perfume. And wherever you go, what's that smell? It's love. It's the God kind of love. It's the agape love. It's the love that never fails. It's the unconditional love. It's the supernatural love. It's the strongest love. It's the love that doesn't fail. It's the love that saves you. It's the love that heals you. It's the love that picks you up. It's the love that comes from heaven. It's the love of the Father God. So if you need a touch from God's love, come up right now in Jesus' name. God wants His fragrance all over you. Oh, this is good. God's going to smear some love sauce all over you. Some of you can get on this side over here. Let's bring this back. You guys ready to be smeared with the love of God?
Never be deceived. The only thing that could happen to Jesus was that He could be betrayed. Because that's what Judas did, right? Judas didn't deceive Jesus because Jesus said, you were a devil from the beginning. Jesus knew who He was from the beginning. But he could only betray Jesus. Well, the same thing is love cannot be deceived. When we walk in love, we don't have to be concerned about being deceived. And I think that's the fear that the enemy brings in to get you not to love. Because you're waiting for someone to do something bad. So, or they'll deceive you, or they won't be who they are. But love could be betrayed. So what do we do? God knows how to heal when you're being betrayed. So you don't have to be worried. There's a difference between being deceived and being betrayed. Being deceived is you don't have a clue, Being betrayed is it has nothing to do with you. The person will just do what they want to do. So you have to live a life where you're not concerned about loving somebody because when you did that last time, this happened. You see? That's operating in fear. And that's completely opposite the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen? I just thought I'd share that because it's fitting because the enemy will come in. The only reason that we hold back love is because of fear. And that comes from the enemy. But the love of God, as Pastor Doug was sharing, it's God's love through us. And we are the faucet, so to speak. We're the tap. So we could either turn it up or we could turn it down. But we really control how much of God's love we will allow to work through us to other people. And in essence, to work through us in ourselves of how much we believe God loves us. And if we don't release the hold and let it be a continual flow of love from God to us and from us to people, you watch and see if it's not the spirit of fear that's coming in to tell you, you remember when you did that last time? Remember that person you loved just like that? You treated them just that way and look at what they did. That's nothing but the spirit of fear because God will always forgive. He will always restore. And that's how we should live. Amen? But we can do it because of the spirit that lives in us, which is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. Let's pray before we leave.